Yes, it is our last prayer meeting for the year. That's Tuesday meeting. And let me just, since it is our last day, it's just a good time to just explain one or two things, which will be, because we're going to be gone for some month, for some weeks. And there are just two points I want to make from this. You know, the issue about these Tuesday prayer meetings, actually, I've been saying it again and again, the aim is to create a new habit, all right, in Christians. The aim is to have people pray with understanding. That's the basic thing. I was in my office yesterday, and I was talking with some people. All right, I went to one department to go and see some of my colleagues, and there were some women there. Where they were discussing something just led to it. All right, when I started talking about prayer, now I was playing most of the time, even though what I was saying, I was believing it. And if I start repeating, you are going to start laughing. So something led to it. Fasting, all right? So the woman, one of them said that she's going to, sorry, let me not mix the story. I can't remember how I started, but along the line, it was said that you go on 40 days fast. I said, me, never, never, I won't do it. 40 days, 40, no, is that 3 days? 3 days, no food, no water. No, is that 3 days fast? I said, explain it, what kind of fast? I said, no food, no water. I said, me, I'm not going to do it. I didn't kill anybody. So they say, no. You haven't had serious problems before. I said, I will pray serious prayer. You know, things like that were going on. They will toss one to me that, one woman said, it is not every mountain you bring down. Some of them, you have to climb them. I said, why should I climb with an empty stomach? No, they kept on going on. They will say one thing. I will say another. I was being deliberate. At least I wasn't doing deliberately. Even though I believed everything I was saying, one of them said, no, when things are down, you have to pray. No, you have to fast. I said, what kind of fast? No food, no water. I said, I'm sorry, I did not kill anybody. He said, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I said, he died for the whole world. Am I planning to do that? That is, they will say one thing, I will say another. Say, Jesus, I said, by the way, he wasn't hungry. Hey, another argument. How can somebody be fasting and not be hungry? I don't know. That's just what the Bible says. He was not hungry. There were two women, friends, they came together. But they, they are both Christians, they don't go to the same church. So occasionally, both of them would be on together against me. Then I would have, that's where I used to separate them. Like when I said that, once you can fast for 3 hours. So the other one didn't hear her friend say it. I said, 3 hours. I said, well, they say fast coming for 3 hours. He said, no, it's not possible. How can you fast for 3 hours? Said, your friend said it, not me. She refused to acknowledge that her friend said it. So I took the friend, turned her around. I said, look at who said it, not me. But we kept on going up and down. I'm going somewhere with all of these discussions. There's another woman who was sitting down there. That one got involved in it. Saying, when some things are serious, you will start fasting. I said, where did the Bible say so? She said, this is not about quoting the Bible. I said, it is so. Then she made a statement. No, I made a statement. I said, but Anna didn't fast, and God heard her. They said, Anna fasted. I said, I lie. Anna did not fast. Finally, I opened my Bible. They had left that time. That the Bible said, after Anna had eaten and had drunk, I visited drunk or drank, whatever, inhaled some liquid, that she now went to pray, and God answered. The other woman was there, the last one was there that time, and I read that thing out. She kept quiet. Now, I'm going. There's even I'm going about on and not about these things. I just realized that people form the habit. They can't defend some of these habits from scriptures. If I say this other one, that anyway, let me not give you all the gist. I said something that's very, very funny, you know. I said they have a lot of habits which cannot be defended from scriptures. And as I was talking with them, though I was playing most of the time, but I realized that people form serious habits. Serious habits. All right? Not based upon the revelation of the Word of God. Not even just what those women were saying that yesterday, but many other things. And they expect God to answer because of that. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. That is, they form their own habits, make up their mind. It becomes a tradition. Somebody started it. Let me give you an example. I will say this clearly. I know some people will not agree. In fact, I am sure a lot of people listening to this, not you that are here, you know me already, so you still keep coming, you are used to it. But some listening to this, yeah, it's true. When I say it, I know they won't. They think that something is wrong with me. I said, why should you declare a 40-day fast? Nothing wrong with it. If you ask, like I told those women, I said, did you sin? If you sin, confess now. And if you confess, who said you were not heard? I said, why must I be hungry for 40 days? Say, when the thing is serious. I said, when things are serious, you take serious faith, serious confession of the word of God. Now, I'm going somewhere. But people made it a habit that I said, and then, okay, now I know where the discussion began from. Oh, I have to give you the genesis of the discussion. Because there was a statement I made there. My colleagues that were there, they were just watching. All right? I noticed that one of them was listening to me very attentively. All right? And it was one that amplified the statement I'm about to make. Now, this is where one of the women started from. There were some monies that she got paid. You know, civil service stuff. You know, this monetization thing that Obasanjo did long ago. Some people didn't get their money that time. This is years ago. So they're just suddenly getting it. There were some mistakes here and there. And if you work for civil service that time, you know, it was a lot of money. It was a lot of money. People were getting hundreds of thousands of naira. In fact, it was so much, but it was nationwide. Every federal worker got the money. In case you want to know what it's about. Before, you know, if you're a federal government worker, some people are tied to a house and, you know, car. Obasanjo just said, this is just a waste of government funds. Let me pay the money to people. Then you go out, if you like, go and use your money to fly. All right? Instead of government having to maintain a car for your office. They call it monetization. So the thing was spread to everybody's salary. So it was a lot of money for all the federal government workers. So the government had to pay it twice. All right? Now, some didn't get one or both installments. So this woman finally got her own recently. That's where the discussion is. So they were now teasing her, say, you finally got your money. And you know where my passenger left office now? You know, that was when the monies were paid. And so some people are just getting their own this year. You can imagine. I mean, I must have eaten mine. You know what I'm saying? That was quite a long time ago. I mean, your passenger left office now. 2007. Abi? Yes. So you can imagine. So over 6 years. So someone asked, telling that woman that you will share with your girl, you find somebody else. He said, was it there when I was fasting? That's where the discussion started from. Are you getting my point? That was where the discussion started from. So that one, she was telling that woman that, no, why should I give him the money? Was it there when I was fasting? That she had to fast and pray all these years for her money, to balance of her money to come out. That was it there when I was doing all of this? So I didn't even catch that one at the beginning before I walked into the rest of it. So that was what they were discussing about, and I got involved. So along the line, I didn't hear that part, too, but I was not saying something. After the discussion had ended, I was not kind of teaching. I said, this is the problem with Christians, that we want to share part of the glory with God. That we will say to him, I was the one that fasted. You were the one that answered. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I said, I did the fasting. I did the praying. You, God, did the answering. So we actually shared the glory. I don't know whether you caught that. I want to give the testimonies about, then I fasted. Then I began to pray. Then the eye is there. So everybody looking at you, hey, Baba, prayer warrior. Okay, now. You know, so everybody's hailing you. The next time they have problems, they call you. Say, that sister, Wow. Hey, she can pray. That's what they call collecting part of the glory. So I said that, all right? I didn't hear the earlier part of their discussion. So that man now said that, don't mind her. That's when I now heard it. That she was asking, say, what you are saying is very correct. What you are saying is very correct. They want to take part of the glory. Look at her asking whether that man was there when she was fasting. I don't know whether you got that. That is, I can't give him some of my money because while I was fasting for that money, he did not participate. He was eating. That is, this money is a reward for my fasting. And why should he participate in the reward when he did not join in the fasting? Whether you say it or not, you have taken part of the glory. Yes, that's where it started from. Now, why am I saying these things? A lot of us, if we are not taught, and that's one thing about it, there is nothing defaultly, that is, you were born with the right idea about it. There's nothing like that. You have to learn. Until some people heard me say some things, it never crossed their minds that those things were not right. That is this issue of taking glory, you know, come and declare how much fasting you did. Listen, that was why we began this. I'm going to throw all of this, all right, because, like I said, it's the end of the year. This is our last prayer meeting for the year. I just wanted to explain what we are doing again and to encourage people in how to handle life, all right? So this is what we're trying to do to get Christians to understand, to have the right thoughts about this prayer thing, very important, And why God is leading us in that direction is because it's actually very vital, not only for our lives, but for us to be effective in our environment. Are you getting my point? You know, something happened to me personally a few days ago. I realized that, you know, in my place of work, in the hospital, I've had a lot of issues because I head the department, and so a lot of things rest on my shoulders, and I feel the burden, the pain in quotes, when things are not working properly. So I realized that what I've been doing a lot of time is complaining. And, you know, like I tell people not to complain, I need to listen to those messages myself. All right? Life can be tempting. Are you getting me? And for some weeks, not just more than days, some things have been happening and really, really gotten me angry. And if I tell you the details, I'm right. Every man's way, rightness now. I'm very right. You will see it line by line that, yes, you are correct, they are wrong. And there is no they, actually. The system is kind of wrong. Are you getting my point? Not one person. You know, and I had an issue with somebody, all right? He wasn't doing what I felt he should be doing by virtue of the kind of power that he had. So I was really angry. Why are you obstructing my flow? We could do things better. You are not allowing us. You know, we just keep talking. Every day I sit down, I am angry. Sometimes they bring up things. I get up and I just say, I'm going home. These guys are frustrating me. Then one day I sat down, I was meditating, and I realized, oh boy, all you have been doing is complaining. Why don't you pick that matter? Now listen to this, and seriously use it, use prayer to handle it. So that day as I was going to work, this is a real testimony. In the morning I woke up and I began to declare the word of God, you know, over all this obstruction, these problems. I was speaking the word over them. Then I got to the office. And then another of those problems commenced. Now, because there's a way civil service works, you know, federal government. I'm the head of the department, so they approve some money, 20,000 naira, what they call imprest. A lot of us never buy imprest. So when you finish spending the imprest, you do what they call retirement, and then they give you another one. Now, the problem with my office is that retiring, the interest can be really difficult. So before that one comes back, you will have spent from your pocket more than the money they are going to pay. And as the head of the department, you know, most of the bulk stops at your table. So either you refuse to say, okay, sorry, there's no money, and nothing is working, or you make things work, but this time around, with your own personal funds. Somebody will come to me and say, something's not working. And they'll call the person who repaired it, and he says 4,000 naira. So I tell the person, 4,000 naira, no problem. When I get the money, I give it to you. So what do we do meanwhile? I don't know. I've started doing that over the last few weeks. Before, I didn't used to do it. I'll just say, all right, 4,000. I open my bag if I have money. If not, I say, okay, tomorrow when I come to work, I give it to you. Just make sure you get my receipt to take it to someone, simply let them stamp it and file it. I stopped doing that. I had gotten angry. So that day after I finished praying, that's why I'm telling the story. When in the morning, I started declaring over my work, talking over it, just confessing favor and all of that. And I got to the office. No, the previous day, they had told me that we didn't have glass lights. What happened? Why was it not supplied? I went through the supply book and everything. Oh, they did not issue a award letter to the person who won the tender. I said, my God, what do we do? Okay, go to the market, get me a market survey. Let's see whether we can quickly buy some. That wasn't going to work. You understand? So that was another getting back to the office that day. What was going to, in fact, the woman came and said, what do we do? Slides have finished, none again. And I said, stop the work now. Let the CMD will soon feel it. You know, I've gotten to that kind of level. I was just angry. And freeze the whole thing, work stops, he will soon feel it too. But that day when I got to the office, that day when I woke up, and I started meditating, and I let be praying over this thing, not just getting angry and complaining. I began to declare favor and all of that. This was the manifestation, which is my testimony. I got to work that number one, my heart has softened. There was one wiring we had to do. The guy told me we had to pay 6,000, and I just opened my bag, gave him 6,000, okay, go and do it, get my receipt for me, okay? When he now came and said, what about the glass lights? Now, notice I've been, this time around, complaining, I put it aside, I give thanks, and I declare, ask God for favor. Then the Lord now gave me ideas. So what do we do? The guy went to do market survey, it didn't work out, it was too expensive, what they had in the market, I didn't even have that money. I just said, come on, who's the person that was supposed to give us this? He said, oh. So I just said, is it the one? Do you have his number? No. I called my accountant, please get it good for us. Tell him, please, whether I can supply this thing, and he said, call him now. I said, look, I've never called him. It won't be right now for me to be calling him the first. I said, tell him I'm going to call him, then I will now call. And he said, he's on his way to the village for a funeral. I said, just call him, send me his phone number. Tell him I'm going to call, and I'll not call him. He knows me. Okay, the guy said, all right. Except that I came out of the office maybe like an hour later, and my chief lab scientist came and said that she was smiling. Ah, madam, why are you smiling? That they brought a whole carton of slides. From where? You know, in that short interval, that guy had made the call. Do you understand? The text he sent to me was not delivered until like 12 midnight. So I didn't even get the text to call the man. But that man, he just, from wherever he was, he just called one of his boys. That one went to his store, brought a huge carton of slides, and dumped it on us that, okay, you guys continue working. We'll settle it later. Now, why am I giving the testimony? If it was 2 days before, the complaining and and the anger in my soul, I would have grounded my department to a halt. Not my fault. Now, you must understand this side. This is righteousness, self-righteousness now. It would have been my fault. But you know, in the face of God, that's what I'm telling you this testimony. If they say, why are things not working there? You know what he would have said? He won't blame my CMD. He wouldn't blame the system. Why are things not working? He said, my son I put in there, he's not doing what he's supposed to do. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I told you, be careful. When you are pointing fingers like this, they have a saying on my side. When you point a finger, the other ones are pointing backwards. All right? Yes, that's a matter of fact. Many of the things we are complaining about, all right, we actually, and that's what we are trying to do in this prayer series, teaching people that you have a different attitude towards life and understand the power of prayer. God just allowed this to happen this last week. Last week, yes. I believe so, partly so I can give it as a testimony and use it to encourage people. That day I got to work, I realized that if it was 2 days before and I had gone with this, I'm angry, I'm complaining, I would have gotten there. Nothing would have gotten done. Do you understand? Now, this one, I didn't spend my personal money. Though I did on some other things, but on the major one that would have had to drop like 20,000 naira to just get a small bit, this man just dropped, I didn't even know the volume he dropped. So I told him on Monday we'll start processing the payment and all that. Let's see how we're going to get over that one. So I see it as a manifestation of favor. Are you getting my point? Simply because that morning when I woke up in the morning, the Holy Spirit had gotten it to me that, oh boy, stop complaining. Why don't you ask God for favor, all right, for your workplace? And that actually affected him immediately. Yes, there's a system problem out there. But I cannot afford to focus on that system problem and allow things to go wrong under my watch. In fact, over the last few days, I've sat down at a point in time and said, okay, for all the anointing prayer that you Christians have, would it be right for you to occupy this seat and there is no major difference because you have the system to blame? I don't know whether you're getting my point. I said, that wouldn't be right. That would not be right. That wouldn't be right. All right? Now, why am I saying all of these things? I want us to understand, again, I'm just summarizing what I've been doing the whole year. We did our last school of prayer. So what we are doing is getting Christians to have the new habit, new perspective. That discussion I had with those women, it brought something to my light. I said, this is how a lot of Christians reason. They are mechanical. They don't have biblical foundation for a lot of the things that they do, and they expect results. And unfortunately, God will not say, because you don't know what you are doing, he will allow you to do what is wrong and bless what is wrong. He will not. I've said it before, all that God owes the man, the woman that's walking in error, is correction. That's all he does. He owes you, as a sign of, when I say, oh, now in quotes, that is a manifestation of his blessing, his favor. He corrects you so you can do that which is right. All right? Prayer, we have been explaining again and again, it's a habit that one forms, and I'm emphasizing again, it's a habit of doing what is right in that area. Are you getting me? So when we see issues, our primary attitude towards it must not be that of complaining. For example, if you are married here, say amen. All right. That means if you're married, you married a woman or you married a man. So you either have a husband or you have a wife. You know, one of the temptations of life is when this your husband or this your wife starts doing something. In fact, this is the most annoying one of them. I've been married for 14 years now. It applies to men, applies to women. It's when your spouse keeps doing the same thing that you have told, okay, I'm a man now, let me use the her. You've told her to stop doing. The same thing. People have used all kinds of methods to try and explain how to get over it. One of our brothers then said that the lady's wife was very careless, so she used to get angry all the time. After a while, he stopped getting angry. He realized this girl is not planning to change. So he started stopped complaining and started just taking care where she's refusing to take care. So one day he found his wife's certificate on the floor. in the house. Certificate. University degree certificate. He didn't complain. He collected it, dusted it, cleaned it. And went and filed it properly. Then one day the woman came. Hey, honey, have you seen my certificate? He's searching everywhere. Hey, my certificate. The guy went, brought it and said, here it is. He didn't say anything, though. That is in the interest of long life and prosperity. You don't have to talk about everything. About the certificate. Now, the temptation, of course, this is the point, is that you will settle down and start thinking. And you start talking and start criticizing and you start getting angry and you start rehearsing that thing again and again and again and again. It's a temptation. Most men, apart from very perfect men, fall for it. Of which I'm not one of the perfect people. I'm just aspiring that I may know him and the power of his perfection in that area. We are still walking, amen? Amen. And I've seen many people, so I know you now walk plenty past my own. The way all of them are nodding. The Lord is good. All right, but you see, those are the things, important areas that we actually forget to employ the power of prayer. My wife discovered that one earlier than me, all right? She used it to testify before. You just sit down there and be like, this man. And she wants to start. Then she just realized, among the things that I have taught but I have not heard, you know, there are things you teach you didn't hear. You just talk. Yes, actually, a lot of it is actually satanic. It's not you. No, I've said that here before. Yeah, you may have some legitimate reasons, but after a while, Satan said, just drug chair, say, my brother, I did your side, though. Sit down and say, that's what them be. Once Satan starts agreeing with you, be afraid. Just in a lie. So that one, my wife just said, no, in the name of Jesus, my husband is a good man. He loves me. By the time you do that for 5 minutes, Satan will look you. Get away, my friend. First, he even won't help you. Just they talk. That's literal get behind me, Satan. You don't have to even, he just gets up and leaves you alone. And the joy of the Holy Spirit, all right, will fill your heart. Are you getting my point? And actually, I don't want to go into that now. Many things in life that you think are real, they actually are not real. There's one program that we've been watching in our house, all right? If you have, is it National Geographic or Discovery World? Brain Games. All right. Every day we watch Brain Games when we can, all right? It's a National Geographic program. It will show you, all right? There's a spiritual application to it, that many of the things you think are real in life, they are not. And it will be demonstrated for you. That those circles moving in this direction, you say, yes. It's okay, look at this side. They will move the circle. Say, okay, now I'm going to tell you that they are moving the opposite direction. Say, believe me, I'm not altering the picture. Just look. You look. Ah, they're moving the opposite direction. Say, look away. There's a way they'll just show it to you. You realize a lot of things you perceive in life are not even as real as you think. That's even the physical realm. In spiritual things, they are like that also. Many people are blessed, thoroughly blessed. God is showering abundance upon them. Do you know what they are doing? Is complaining. Why? Because they focus on, there are 100 things, 5 are not working well. God is ensuring that 95 are working well. But those 5 is all they think about. So since you think of 5, and 5 out of 5 are not working well, it looks like 100% isn't working well. But if you had the ability, that's why David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And let me put a modern word to it, recount to mind all his benefits. There are many things you don't think about as benefit. You wake up in the morning, you don't let me tell you something. This what I want to say is a matter of fact, very, very simple. Do you know your sins are forgiven? Yes. But you know, every day doesn't really feel like this because nobody's trying to say, look at the sin that I forgave. Oh, have you remembered it now? Nobody's putting it in your face. So that's why David listed them one by one. That's recount those things to mind. When you do, you realize that actually things are much better than you realize. You know, there's a story I tell once in a while. I read it many, many, many years ago. One man sat down one day and said, this world is a wicked world. He wanted to hang himself, so he had the noose up there. So before he would hang, he said, the only thing he has left in this world is just these 2 wraps of money. Can you imagine a whole man like me? Let me just eat it and then hang and die. And the guy chopped, you know, money in leaves. He had the 2 wraps of money. Was about to hang himself. Meanwhile, one man be watching him, watching the moimoi or the wine. So as the moimoi leaves dropped, that guy rushed the leaves. Say, ah, okay. If I say you're not hungry, the guy begins to scoop the bottom. That is, do you understand? The guy had moimoi, ate it, threw away the leaves. One man was watching, saw the leaves, saw the scrap of moimoi remaining.
So you say, Oga, you be like say you're not hungry. That one begins to scrape the leaves, lick the leaves. And that one was not committing suicide. I don't know, do you understand the point? He wasn't committing suicide. The man that had more, that he ate enough and could throw away the ones attached to the leaves, was committing suicide. He didn't remember to count his moimoi as a blessing. If he bought that, he would have realized that there are many other things in his life, all right, that were blessings of God. And that would have given him hope. That would have given him courage to conquer. Do you understand the point I'm making? You know, I don't know how this story will apply, but I just like telling you because I remembered it yesterday. I remember Robert Shula? Robert Shula said when they were young, his father was so poor, the family, they were so poor that all they had they were farmers. They had one cow or something, all right? And then one day, a tornado came. He said in his little childhood exuberance, he thought that, oh, this is a good thing. Let me see a tornado. But all of them ran away. By the time they came back, the tornado had leveled their house and killed their cow. And that one day, the father was riding in his horse and stuff for him back home. But he got to a river, to a bridge. The man stood at the edge of the bridge and wanted to jump inside. The only reason why he didn't jump was that he remembered his wife and his son. That if things are this difficult while I'm with them, if I die, they will suffer more than they have suffered. And for that reason, that man didn't commit suicide that day. And he walked back home. I don't know why I told this story, but at the end of the day, that his little boy became the world-famous Robert Shula that you and I know today that we can be talking about. Are you getting my point? That is a life. That's not just how it is. So let me get back to the main thing I'm saying. So we're trying to get, by learning the word of God, people to understand how to handle life. Not just go around complaining all the time when there are issues. I was talking about husband, wife. Those negative things are, again, to be spoken to the Lord about and to be prayed about. Seriously. They are to be spoken, that is, when I say spoken to the Lord about and prayed about, what I mean is that, one, you pray about it, talk to God. Then there are times you just declare the word of God over it. Look at the positive side and you start declaring the word of God. And you will just find that, again, literally, the Spirit of God enters into the home and makes things better than they were before. That is a power. And is it what I want to use now? That's the benefit. One of the benefits of being a believer. You know, I mean, my wife and I was talking about something the other day. I said, hey, I think about those who are not Christians. They try. You know, it's with pity. You're a married woman. You're not a believer. Your husband is not a believer. Ah, you now try. And as now they take manage and not understand. Because when some of the problems of life come into that home, what do people do? This is when you run to Babalawo, don't be angry. Just preach to them. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Yes, we say, man, go join cults. Don't, not like, ah, I can't preach to him. Did he understand there are better cults to join? Show him the way to your own cult. You understand? This cult of Christianity is sweet. Explain to the man, this one, no serious sacrifice. Don't mind the pastor saying you must sacrifice money. God doesn't even collect that one. The only sacrifice is once and for all. You, just come, give your life to Christ. We slaughter you spiritually. All right, you drain your life away. We put the life of God in it. Then you start living for Christ. And that's all. Everything you do is no longer a sacrifice. I don't know what I get the point. Yes, in that form, in that it takes something away from you. As I was giving that money, it was as if I was giving my blood. It's your selfishness. All right, it's true. Sometimes we glorify bad habits. As I was giving the money, it was as if I was giving my intestine. It is because you are still too attached to money. That's why it's paining you. Otherwise, in real Christianity, it's just one of those things. Are you getting my point? Yes, you just give an offering, it's just one of those things. You explain to that fellow, this is the real cult. This is where you need to belong. It's free. Why? Somebody paid. And he said, only what? Believe. Now, why I said that is that life can be very, very tough. So when I see people don't have where to go, I just wonder, you know, I just wonder. Those days, one day Bishop Michael Okonkwo was preaching in Winners, their convention, he came there to preach. So he was supposed to take an altar call. He made a statement which I repeat once in a while. The man said, you're in this Lagos, you're not born again. You are bold, dude. That is your own boldness. That's what he said. But I remember that day. He said, it's like this. You are in this Lagos, you're not born again. But boy, you are very bold. That's what he said, that you are very bold. That means I don't have that degree of boldness. I have to hide somewhere. Let me tell you where I'm hiding. I'm hiding in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? I'm speaking an issue that life can be very tough, but God has given us that privilege as a believer to pray about things constantly, and indeed He answers prayers. And indeed He answers prayers. His answers to prayers give you, the first thing He does is to give you a good sleep. Yeah, that's the first thing. Paul said that, he said in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. That is, if you were not sleeping before, once you finish praying about something, you doze off while you are praying about it. Now, that's what Christianity is. I'm talking about prayer. It becomes a habit. And prayer is not just what... next year, I want to start that thing again. I don't know whether it's on Saturdays or we'll make it Saturdays and Tuesdays. You know, this thing I say on the side, and we laugh, and then we practice it, then we laugh every time I say this thing about cult, the practice of the Christian cult. You understand? I really want to explain it properly. I'm still trying to say whether I'll just do it on Saturdays alone or on Tuesdays alone, or Saturday and Tuesday, so we can film it and put it on air. So that, because the other day I was reading, and this is very important, you'll see it. Let's read it to you, just see what I'm saying. It's 2 Kings chapter, well, it's in many portions in Isaiah, it's in 2 Kings. Let's read the one that's easier for me to quickly get to. All right, let's start from Isaiah chapter 37. Now, we won't read everything, okay, but there's something I saw there. I was listening to it, 2 Kings, but it's the same thing that's in Isaiah 37. You know the story of Sennacherib, right? King of Assyria, to come against Judah, to Jerusalem. And then they wrote letters and all of that. And in verse 14, Hezekiah took the letters from the hand of the messengers and read it. And they went to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And then he prayed the prayers that he prayed. Then God now answered in verse 21. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent word to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. Now, see, there's a reason why I read this. Like I told you, I won't read everything, but bear this in mind. He said, because you have prayed to me about this problem, this is the word that the Lord has spoken against the issue. He says, she has despised you and mocked you, the virgin daughter of Zion. And that's the word of God. She has spoken her head, she has shaken her head behind you, O daughter of Jerusalem. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed? And against whom have you raised your voice and haughtily lifted up your eyes against the Holy One of Israel? Through your servants you have reproached the Lord, and you have said, with my chariot, many chariots, I came up to the heights of the mountains, to the remotest parts of Lebanon. I cut down its tall cedars, and all of that. Verse 26, he said, have you not heard? Long ago I did it. From ancient times I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass that you should do this and do that. He now said, verse 28, I know you're sitting down and you're going out and you're coming in and you're raging against me. Because of your raging against me and because of your arrogance and because your arrogance has come to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came. Now, that was the word of God, all right, about Sennacherib. Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't know whether you're following it. That was, now if you read it, it's almost like a song. You know, please, I'm hoping you are connecting what I'm saying. You read it as if, it's almost like a song you can read. Like a song, because it wasn't really saying anything directly to Isaiah. He said, hear the word of the Lord about that man. After that, he now said to Isaiah, this shall be a sign for you. Then, if you go down to verse 33, he now said, Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He will not come to this city or shoot an arrow there. He will not come before it with a shield or throw up a siege ramp against it. By the way he came, by the same way he will return. He will not come to this city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And then something that happened to him in verse 36, that's to the Assyrian army. Please follow me. You will see that there was a long poem, there was a long word which God spoke about the situation. That something struck me with that when I saw it. You know what God is saying to Christians? Every situation in life, do you understand? I have spoken a word like that about it. It was based upon this word that God has spoken that he now gave a direct word to Ezekiah that this is what will happen. That is, even if this is not what happened, all right, God can solve it by any way. But there was one constant word that he had released concerning Sennacherib. And this is the job of believers. Take that word and turn it into a song. Now, I said to you before, this is what songs are. Because many years ago, I thought about it. Why do we sing? It's because it's easy to say it over and over again. You can feel the air around you with it. You can feel your heart with it. All right? You can feel your heart with it. You can feel your head with it. You can feel the ears of your children with it. You can feel the ears of your spouse with it. That's what a song is. When you're just chanting and reciting, after a while it's tiring. But you can sing a song for hours, and you not get tired. And that is why, let me say it to you again. Again, small digression. It is not be very careful when it comes to secular music.